Welcome to the Transforming Self-Doubt Channeling event we're bringing to you today. This is Tom Jacobs, your host. And during the approximately 90-minute event, you'll hear from probably a blend of the two beings that we're bringing through for you today. Ascended Master Jehudi, who's also known as Thoth and Saint Germain and Merlin. And Archangel Metatron, who, as a guide of mine, has been known as Sariel, in my experience. These are two different kinds of beings with intentions to support evolution and help you and us figure out what we're supposed to be doing here and how to do it in the best possible way as it serves evolution. Probably they will trade off speaking and doing work, and they will work together at occasions, and there may actually be a blending of the frequencies through my voice. Who knows what will happen? What I'd like for you to do now is to get comfortable. Close your eyes, please. Let your breathing be easy and relaxed but full. And I'm going to lead you into this, and then one or both of them will take over and we'll begin in earnest. So notice where there may be tension in your body and decide to let it go. Just decide that you don't need it going forward. Whatever things you may have picked up today, or the last few days, the last few weeks, perhaps even since we did the last event on August 31st of this year, several months ago. Just decide to be free of this tension and this stress. All the energies of others that do not belong to you, make the decision that you do not need them. And begin sending cords into the earth from the bottoms of your feet and your root chakra, or the first chakra, and send these energies down into the earth. Everything that doesn't belong to you, everything that you don't need. One of the effects of doing this work together, as you can always do this kind of clearing exercise, one of the effects of doing it together is that as I am tuned into these other energies, these other frequencies and levels of consciousness, when I suggest something and you do it, it tends to be more effective. And this happens whether it's live and in person or on the phone or in or when you're hearing the recording. Because my job is to hold the frequencies of these beings so that you can be positively affected as you experience them. So please make the decision now, and we will be asking you during this call today to make many decisions on your own behalf, self-interested decisions. And the first one is, decide that you are willing to be open to receiving the help of these two beings. Whatever it is that inspired you to sign up for this event, or to hear this recording, you need a boost or some support and help. So we're asking you to set an intention at the beginning of the call to be humble enough to open to receive help from these beings. And please put your attention back on these cords into the earth and send them just a little bit deeper into the earth. Breathe the energy of the earth up into your body on your inhales. Let the energy of the earth fill you. Let it fill all the far corners of your physical body as you breathe it in. Let it get all the way up to your cranium. Let it get all the way to your shoulders and then to your arms and hands. Make sure it fills all parts of you. And on your exhale, send down the tension and stress and energies that don't belong to you, that you do not need and cannot carry going forward. Do a clearing first here. As we transition into these two beings speaking through me to affect your vibration. After a discussion or teaching, an explanation of self-doubt and how to transform it, you will have the opportunity to receive energy work. When that time comes, you will be asked to make a decision, yes, I'm open to receiving this energy work, or maybe not now, but maybe later, or no, thank you. These two beings always respect your free will. And so it will be very clear at the point where energy work is starting to be done. But even as you make the intention to be open to letting them affect you now, vibrational things or energetic things are happening under the surface now. But it will be overt and direct and very noticeable later if you give them permission. And you may be fully along for the ride until that point, and then realize that maybe you feel a little overwhelmed, or maybe something doesn't feel right, or you're not quite sure, and it is perfectly fine to not do it at this point. You will always have this recording later, and you can navigate that later. You can explore doing it at a time that may be different if something is up for you now. Do not feel pressured. Do not feel that you're missing something if, at one point, you say, gosh, no thank you. So breathing the energy of the earth up into your body to slow you down, to ground you, to put your attention in your body, to remove the, in some of us, appointed dictator for life, the conscious mind, running the show. All this work that we bring you is intended to get you in your body so that more parts of you, more elements or aspects and sides of your being can participate in the decision-making process and how your life unfolds. Now we will begin speaking about self-doubt. The first thing to say is that each of you is a divine being born to unfold a particular sort of mission. And this mission is about learning what it means to be human. You each are living out your soul's intended agenda. But since it is like school, we may say syllabus. There is a plan of certain opportunities, certain themes, life challenges, which all are decision-making opportunities. And this agenda is set up by soul, which is a portion of divine consciousness. So if you are here, things are going according to plan, we could say. Everything is fine. Everything is right because you are here, exploring these challenges to assert your free will, to make decisions, to make choices. The affirmation that the channel sent you a few days ago, I am who I am, is intended to stir the parts of you that might not be sure that all is going according to plan, and that you have the right to be here and be just who you are. The affirmation is not, I have the right to be who I am, or I have permission to be who I am. But as you do the affirmation, I am who I am, it is intended to stir the recognition within you that all is well, that you are here and it is good, and that what is unfolding in your world is what you need to be witnessing and experiencing to unfold. As the channel wrote to you in this email, to prep for the event, you know, doing that affirmation can stir parts of you that don't agree. So we ask you to be aware of what comes up as you do that affirmation. Some of you will have had that notice, that information, a few days more than others, depending on when you signed up for this event. But think about what came up for you since the time you signed up for the event about who you are and self-doubt. What is it that makes you doubt yourself? What happens in your world, in your life, in your day-to-day reality, that causes you to withhold a passionate belief in who you are, your presence here, your right to be here, your ability or your willingness to acknowledge who you are without apology, and trusting the decisions that you make for yourself? A number of you will have seen a process, and it will have come, perhaps the awareness will have come in subtle ways. The process of realizing that there is a trigger. But then there is a behavior or a lack of behavior that results from this trigger. And then you may be able to see the belief, you know, the construct of mind that's invested with energy, the belief behind the trigger. Why do I think that? Why do I doubt myself? And then you begin to see, especially as you have been experiencing lately in prep for this event, Mercury, the planet Mercury retrograding, appearing to go backwards in the sign of Scorpio, which is a lot about reviewing how things work and seeing under the surface and seeing behind the curtains of apparent reality and getting subtle insights. Piecing together elements of the mystery, we could say. So if you have noted leading up to the event, what has come up for you? What feelings come up for you? What memories may present themselves or stories that parts of you tell other parts of you in doing I am who I am, this affirmation? Be aware now of what comes up for you, what has been coming up. Put your attention, please, back on these cords into the earth and breathe the energy of the earth up into your body in a full, relaxed, easy, gentle way. Receiving the stabilizing, grounding effect of the energy of the earth through your feet and your root chakra all the way up into the rest of your body. Deciding that all energies that do not belong to you can go down through these cords into the earth. Many events that we do, such as the full moon calls and the energy clearing event we did in August, will focus on energies you have absorbed in clearing these things out. And this is important. And yet today, the focus is primarily on your relationship with all these ideas about who you are, whether they come from others or not. Breathing this energy of the earth up into your body. And breathing everything that doesn't belong to you out through the exhales, down through these cords on the exhales. And at this point, we will continue speaking, but at this point, if you are open to receiving energy work, so to speak, rooting through your file system and cleaning things up and putting things in the proper place and rearranging some things and clearing some things out that have to do with self-doubt and what has been triggered for you in this life. If you are open to that energy work, please give a silent yes now. And if not, say no thank you. No worries, no judgment, no pressure. Because as we continue speaking, all those who say yes, please, I am willing to receive this, we will be starting to edge into your fields and do some work for you about self-doubt as we speak. In just a few seconds. Returning to this original idea, you are a portion of divine consciousness. As we may say at times, a portion of all that is. You have incarnated as a person this time around. in order to learn what it means to be a person. What does it mean to make choices? What does it mean to have to deal with the results and effects of your choices? This can seem the worst part of being you. The pressure to make a decision, and then the reality of having to deal with the decision that was made, or if you didn't make a decision, a decision is made for you one way or the other. This is how it works. It can seem a very difficult part of being you, if not the worst, but this is from your soul's perspective, from the perspective of all the divine beings floating around attempting to help you and support you, such as we are. This is the miraculous aspect of being a human that is absolutely amazing. You have the opportunity to choose. You have free will. As you live your life and evaluate your choices and experiences, you don't think about this big picture. But we are asking you to work with this idea going forward. Spend time with this when you meditate, when you're drifting off to sleep, or when you're waking up. Spend time with this idea. Take a few minutes and think about the fact that your life is full of choices, and this is actually a good thing. All that is, or divine consciousness, divine intelligence, learns about how to be human through you making choices and dealing with the consequences. During this process, you will undoubtedly think of the past and your history as a choice maker. We know that this is where you go. This is where every conscious being will go, conscious being with a memory. Because a great proportion of the reasons that people doubt themselves has to do with their choices in the past. Can I really be trusted to make the right choice? Can I afford to find out again that I make the wrong choice, that I'm capable of making poor choices? So we're going to ask you to rewrite your history of making what seem like poor choices and decide to file them under part of the learning journey. You saw what you needed to see when you made that choice, one way or the other, or you refused to make the choice and a choice was made for you. Put your attention back on these cords into the earth and fill your body up on your inhales with this energy from the earth. As we continue working on your field, decide that all debris that doesn't belong to you and every idea you've had and every doubt and feeling and all these things that don't serve you that are ready to leave at this point can go down through these cords into the earth. On the inhales, your body fills up with the energy of the earth, which will never steer you wrong, by the way. And you can spend a lifetime sending your frustration and anger and resentment down into it so that you can become a more compassionate, loving, patient, accepting person. And as you breathe the energy of the earth into your body, you will never get those other things back. The earth is, relative to you, a fantastically large consciousness and being, and has only the best intentions for you. It is, in fact, your parent while you are a person, while you are embodied. All these ideas of the earth being your mother, it is true. You send anger and frustration and the debris down there. Then you turn around and say, can you please offer me something wonderful? And the earth will say, well, yes, of course. I am your mother. So breathing this energy fully up into your body, deciding to trust that the earth has your back, so to speak. Deciding to trust us that we're asking you to develop this relationship with the earth and continue to develop it and deepen it. The earth is your friend, and through this relationship, you learn that your body is your friend as well, and this is one of the points. Stay in your body. Spiritual evolution is not about edging up to the seventh chakra and then losing control of your day-to-day reality. It's not about becoming so spiritual, in quotes, that you can't find your keys or remember appointments or commitments. That's not the point here. Stay in your body, make proactive conscious decisions, set intentions, and execute what matters to you. Live the life that you choose. Without, frankly, letting life make decisions on your behalf, because it will. Filling your body with this energy of the earth. Everything in your field with which it comes in contact, which is not vibrating, supportive, loving, conscious, intentional, grounded, real, useful, helpful. Anything that does not vibrate that, as this energy comes in contact with it, bits of your past and things, emotions and energies you may be to some degree attached to, will come loose, crumbs and crust and little things around the edges. This is why we continually return to sending debris and things you don't need and things that don't belong to you down into the earth. For the next few minutes, we're going to be focusing on the lower three chakras for you. As we work, we will speak, and as we continue working. First, a note on what is possible. At some point, you probably lost your willingness to imagine much of anything. As you grew up and realize that the people who were handing you the world were telling you that it had a certain shape and feel and always would. And yet each of you as a child will have some wonderful imaginings of what you could become. The channel finds it useful in readings and uncovering these kinds of things when doing work for people. To ask the client what it is he or she wanted to be when he or she grew up. What is the childhood dream? And you would be surprised at how many people say, it's silly, or don't laugh. Recall what it is that you wanted to do and be, without judgment. This is a seed of a wonderful possibility within you. It still exists, even if you are decades beyond what you consider the consciousness level of that child. So part of our work here today is to go down into these lower chakras and find out when, where, what happened, and why the child in you decided to grow up into the kind of adult you were probably told you should become. Instead of carrying the spark of imagination. Because as you begin growing and forfeiting part of your imagination, your willingness to think big and to dream and to consider possibilities, which is a great deal of sourced in your creativity and is a wonderful, therefore, a part of your divine consciousness, creativity. But as you grow up into a person who might not have maintained a relationship with it, you ended up becoming somebody who needed to doubt yourself in order to live in the world. Not everybody, but a great many people. How many people, you may be one of them, you may not be, but how many people, when they find out someone is living his or her dream, whether through vocation, avocation, whatever it is, feels a little pang in the heart? How many people experience that? A great many people. Because you have been told you are to live in the world in a structured way, and that requires sacrificing something. But as it turns out, what you give up has a great deal to do with your divine creativity. What you end up choosing to surrender has a great deal to do with what makes you divine. When we use this word creativity, we are talking about choice, the expression of free will. We're talking about making choices from a position, a stance of believing in the self, believing in your right to be, believing in your right to have passion, to see things in unconventional ways. You have a phrase, thinking outside the box. It's prevalent to the point of being a cliche, but this is part of your divine creative spark, is to think in unconventional ways. So then your daily life may become filled with the shoulds and the idea of the have-tos, when in fact you have to do nothing. You should do nothing. There is no such thing, unless you adopt it. So what is that childhood dream? Make the commitment right now to, if you haven't thought of it already, if you have thought of it, great. If you haven't thought of it, or haven't remembered, or haven't wanted to admit what that may be, or a part of you still says it might be silly, make the commitment now from this place with us, in this grounded state, where we and the earth have your back, so to speak. Make the commitment to never describe your imagination as silly. To never think of childish dreams as, or childhood dreams as childish. Yes, we must correct ourselves on that one. To never think childhood ambitions as childish. For many, when you are young, a great deal of the material aspects of life are in some way taken care of. It doesn't mean everything is always easy or abundant. But when you're 6 and 7 years old, your job is not to go out and, typically in modern Western cultures, your job is not to worry about bringing home the bacon and feeding everybody. The workaday world, the workaday cares, the commute, right? So in some ways, things are structured and in some ways taken care of for you. And you go to your little school with all the other little people, and all the big people work their darndest to get you to stop being quite as imaginative as you naturally are. So this is where we say God bless everybody in the wonderful way. But your school system has been trained you to think less of yourself than we wish you to think of yourself. And that would make you feel fulfilled as a person. So one avenue into transforming self-doubt is to decide that the spark you were born with is wonderful. The spark of creativity, of imagination, of possibilities. Yes, your adult self now can construct plans and can reason in a way that perhaps your very young childhood self cannot do. So, great. Employ those plans. Employ that reason. But if you allow yourself to be run by the shoulds and the have-tos, you're not going to enjoy your life. It will be impossible to enjoy your life if you view it as a series of shoulds and have-tos. So, transforming self-doubt, step one. Recognize this inner spark is who you are, is a gift to give. You had to go through the socialization and educational processes in order to create opportunities to participate in society. Most people do. Some people can drop out of school and, you know, be, so to speak, outcasts and find their way. Many cannot. you know, finding acceptance and finding opportunity and creating connection and community in the world. But you've been taught to think that spending the best years of your life sitting behind a desk and memorizing and regurgitating information is the key to being the right kind of adult. So again, God bless all of you and all the people who taught you and all the people who taught them and shaped them. And it's not working. It's frankly not working. You must go through it to realize it, though. So whatever age you are now, make a commitment to yourself to reconnect with this imaginative person within you who was socialized out of believing that he or she should or could be or was allowed to be imaginative. With this whole discussion of choice and free will and dealing with the consequences, you know, this turns into this notion of, this is what one of the things that leads to self-doubt, is, I had to make a choice between two tough things. I made the choice of the thing that seemed less tough, but it still was hard, and gosh, now I'm tired, now that I've had to deal with that. You know, the cycle of shoulds and have-tos, and then feeling that the rock and the hard place are always with you, on either side of you. You are a divine being. You are a portion of creative divine intelligence. You are a sliver of all that is. As we do this work for you and within you, in and on you, and in your ears and mind, we're trying to adjust your vibration, your receptors, so that you can understand this more. And you can walk away from this this teaching, energetically more connected, consciousness-wise, to who you really are. Much of your life is structured around who you are supposed to be and what you are supposed to do and accomplish, what you have to do. All of these things, getting in that kind of cycle, will cause you to doubt yourself at some point. Because, what did you come to Earth to do? You will hear from different, if you ask this question of yourself, you will hear from different parts with radically different agendas. Make room at the table for younger parts of you who are inspired to be here and who want to be alive and thrive and prosper and play. Make room for these parts of you. Make a commitment now to make room for them. Make the commitment to move ahead being more whole by losing this idea that things from your youth were silly and childish and not worth pursuing. Energetically, you were born fully intact. All of the seeds for your experience as a human were with you when you were born. All of the mandates and edicts through vibration that you have given off in your life were there when you were born. The soul says, this human to whom I am attached will need to learn about a certain life theme, and certain experiences may go with that, and this is the kind of arc of experience that may unfold over time. Now, from your perspective, you're just experiencing it. But the seed of divine intent is there the whole time. Which means you were born intact, yet without human conditioning. You were born energetically, spiritually, consciousness-wise intact, yet needed to gain conditioning in order to learn more about how to be a human in this particular context in which you were born. The space-time context, economic, religious, gender-based, gender-biased, educational, economic, socio-religious, all these contexts. Race, politics, all these different things that inform the incubator, the karmic incubator into which you were born. This perspective that you were born intact and whole may be new to you. Sometimes in astrology, we may think about the child born and there's somebody already in there. The notion that comes from Tom's astrology teacher. How amazing is it to look in the eyes of a baby and see somebody already there in this brand new vehicle? A fully formed person. And this is a way of saying that all the seeds of your divinity to be expressed during your life in the form of choice, creativity, are there. And yes, you must deal with the consequences of choice. And that teaches the soul about how to be human. How can I bring my creative spark? How can I bring my unique sense of individuality to the world through making choices? How can I learn about who I am as a person? Which is the entire point of being here for all of us, all the beings who incarnate, to learn about the self through reflection from others. We need each other to tell us who we are. This is when we shift a little focus. So thus far, we've been vibrating on your root chakra. Now we shift focus to add the second chakra to this conversation. Root is also known as the first, by the way. And this is clan, a tribe. Family of origin, culture, nation. Kind of the things that surround you and tell you who you are, or things that surround you and then you decide who you are in terms of them or because of them, or how those contexts react to you or relate to you. The weight of history, the expectations of family, these kinds of things. And also the kind of baggage that goes with, this is my educational level. These are the options that are available to me, so culturally defined opportunities based on my educational level. Same with economics, religion, skin color, everything, all those variables. Now we move to the second chakra, how you learn about yourself through interacting with other individuals, one at a time. You have, in the course of your life, made a number of decisions about yourself based on how specific others have treated you and/or responded to you. Make the decision now to, during this call and in the weeks that follow, as you listen to the recording again and process what may appear to you about these issues from your life, make the decision to get to the bottom of any relationships in your past and present, even going back decades to when you seemed a very different person as a younger person. You know, some of you feel like you've lived 30 lives in the last 60 years. Understood. That's fine. That's just how it is. But think about all relationships that told you who you are. And in fact, each one did. How much credence did you give to how other people treated you? Depending on many factors, this will change over time. At some point, ideally, a person decides to define who he or she is for the self. Typically this happens, this is about the third chakra, which we will go to after a few minutes. But in the second chakra, we're exploring, we're saying, wait a minute, is that who I am? Well, this person says this to me. This person treats me this way. Is that who I am? Wait a minute, I must be like this because this is the response I seem to get. Well, as we said, you are vibrating certain commands around you. Your soul has implanted certain seeds in your consciousness that you will attract through experience people to treat you certain ways. In the second chakra, we encounter how seriously we take those reflections. One thing that comes up as the channel does this work, he has just thought of this and we find it useful, we will share it with you, is that when somebody reflects something to you, as in telling you something about you or treating you a certain way, if you are liable or prone to be hurt, you may take it personally and take it literally. When in fact, there is a great skill in learning to read between the lines of what people tell you. One example, which has come up in a client session recently the channel had with somebody. As an example, if you found out that somebody that you know, well, somebody commits to calling you, somebody says, hey, we will talk on Tuesday. And maybe the person making that statement says, well, you know, we can connect. But the other person perhaps hears it as, I will call you on Tuesday. We'll talk on Tuesday. It's kind of ambiguous. And there's not a lot of, you know, concrete responsibility taken. It's not defined. It's just how it is. Well, the person who's expecting the call, if he or she doesn't receive the call, may feel blown off or ignored or something like this. You know, hearing it the way we said it, maybe it's a little ambiguous and could use more definition in order to make the situation succeed for each person. So the next time, the person who wasn't called says, hey, I was really bummed that you didn't call on Tuesday when you said you would. So here we have these kind of layers of miscommunication, and the person who hears this statement says, thinks in the head, oh, this person is mad at me because I didn't call. What the person said was, I am bummed that you didn't. So you have this whole layer of things that is affected by the filter of how people hear things. So essentially this dynamic, forgetting all the details, they will be interested in the details. And if they talk about it, you know, in a conscious way, they will be working through details and then getting to the point. But the real point is that each person needs to be more definitive in communication. But anyway, this circumstance pops up to show each person that communication needs to be worked on. So whatever feelings each person has about what has happened, there is something to read between the lines. And when you think this way, and the channel and many others use astrology to get to the bottom of these things too. This is one of the reasons it's a wonderful tool. It's because you see the themes that a person is vibrating, I need to experience, come play with me. And then you can parse things through. But reading between the lines. And if somebody doesn't want to play with you at a particular time, don't assume it means more than it does. It means that person is not available or not interested. But if you make a story, you will start to doubt yourself. You will start to doubt yourself. Putting your attention back on these cords into the earth, please. And breathing the energy of the earth up into your body through these three cords from the bottoms of each foot and your root chakra. And deciding that all debris from the lower two chakras that needs to go, that you cannot use, send it down into the earth. Breathing the energy up into your body so it fills all corners. So as you think about these past relationships, your job is to read between the lines of how others have interacted with and treated you, and what they have actually said to you. You may carry certain levels of pain and wounding from what somebody has said to you repeatedly, perhaps a family member, perhaps a loved one of another kind. Your job is to read between the lines. What am I attracting here? Why would I attract this? If that reflection is criticism, you have the opportunity to rephrase what actually gets through your filter. Because if you were told that you can't do something or you would not amount to something, if you were told that as a child, some people certainly have been, you are vibrating the message, I need to be challenged regarding my self-worth and my self-doubt. Think about that. That's the vibration that somebody, what somebody has said to you has yielded. Or as a, the vibration has yielded somebody saying to you again and again, maybe you should doubt yourself. Maybe you shouldn't feel good about yourself. It's not true. You have the right to decide to feel good about yourself. This is why we're here today. And that takes us up into the third chakra. We will bounce back and forth a little bit between these three chakras as we continue, because in the third chakra, this is when you draw a line in the sand and make a decision about who you are. And a great deal of the work that this channel does and we do through this channel has to do with that, with working on first and second chakra issues so you can solidify your third chakra position. And when that happens, then all the work that you may do on your heart and the upper three chakras, the upper four chakras altogether, all that work you do on spiritual evolution and speaking your truth and being more compassionate and kind and loving and aligning with the higher purpose, all those things then have a strong foundation. But if your lower three chakras are not having a strong, are not a strong foundation, then all that upper work may be a little aimless or maybe a little incomplete, maybe can't be fully manifested. So the third chakra is where you decide who you are. Now we're going to ask you to do this affirmation, I am who I am. Being aware of what we've said about the root of first and the second chakras. I am who I am. Put your awareness in your third chakra right now, and we're going to direct our focus now on the third chakra. I am who I am. Notice there is no edge. There's no desperation. I am who I am. We want you to recognize that you are who you are. Acknowledge that you exist, essentially. Now, all debris that doesn't belong to you and can't serve you, send it down through the earth, and we're going to help with that in this third chakra. And then repeat, I am who I am. It's not defensive. It's not sardonic. It's not a question. I am who I am. Work with it. Say it every few seconds or every 10 or 15 seconds for about a minute. And feel it. Feel this as the new stance, the statement, the recognition, the knowledge. I am who I am. And decide that all debris goes down into the earth. Kind of go back and forth. Because the more you believe you are who you are, the more little things will break loose from the construct of history that follows you around in your emotional field. Just a few more seconds to solidify this. moving ahead, regarding how you seem to fit into your surroundings, regarding how others perceive you, respond to, and treat you. Your job is to read between the lines. Your job is to decide that on a periodic basis, to come back to remembering, essentially, but decide on a periodic basis, with regularity, that you are a unique individual who came here for a reason, who has embodied, you know, to learn, as everybody else is, about choice and the making choices and dealing with the results of choices. But also you have a unique creative vision, whether it looks creative or is simply a matter of making something happen or participating in something in a proactive way. Your energy level, which in turn affects your health, your sense of well-being, a lot of this has to do with this third chakra decision. I am who I am, with that self-acceptance. A lot of your energy level has to do with how willing you are to participate in life. How welcome do you feel here? So we ask the question, are you willing to embody who you are? In fact, the affirmation, I am who I am, you need to carry this with you, but it is step number one of numerous steps. This work today together is all about the foundation of this. As the channel had said in the emails, planting some seeds for you. Through this work we've been doing, the energy work behind the scenes, we are making room for the seeds that you are making these decisions and deciding things for yourself, making commitments to yourself. Again, I am who I am. Notice if there's tension or doubt or defensiveness or kind of saying it from your mouth but not saying it from your body. You know, saying it with a small voice instead of a deep, resonant, full voice. Perhaps your voice is not deep but relatively speaking. Perhaps your voice is not as deep as the channel's, but saying it from your third chakra, I am who I am. It's different from, I am who I am. That's the channel's throat. From his third chakra, I am who I am. It's very different, utilizing the throat, but not the same. He's done a great deal of work on his third chakra to inhabit who he is, to be willing to bring his originality out even when it's challenging, even when the response is the sound of crickets or funny looks on people's faces. This is a work in progress, as many people are. But we'd like for you to explore, as you listen to this recording again later and you think about what decisions you want to make for yourself. As you work with affirmations and making these decisions, look at, be aware of where in your body you are speaking from. Most people speak from their mouth and their throat. And most of the time that can be tenuous. Do you believe in what you're saying? The first step of that might take you down into your fourth chakra, into your heart, and then kind of tie in the fifth chakra, sense of aligning with the purpose and truth. But do you believe what you are saying? Is it true for you? Does it support you as a unique individual? And that will tie in this third chakra. I'm giving you some insights into a trick to play. Not a trick to play on yourself, but a game to play with yourself. Find out where I'm speaking from. Do I believe this? And every time you find out you don't believe it, there is third chakra work to do, but then also second and first chakra to make sure that you are cleaning up the past of reasons that you may not believe in yourself. Reasons you may perceive there are to doubt who you are and what you're doing and why you're here. and what you want and need for yourself. Back to these cords into the earth. Breathing the energy of the earth up into your body on your inhales. Relaxed, full, deep, peaceful, active. And on the exhales, deciding that all debris that's come loose, all energies that don't belong to you, all ideas of who you are, that you may have been attached to, that don't serve you, send them down through these cords into the earth and thank the earth for receiving them. Knowing that this being who is your mother while you are human will accept all of these things you cannot use and should not carry. This is not to say you are not responsible for your feelings and your energies, but it is to say you have support of someone who is stronger than you are, through mass and consciousness, bigger than you are. The spirit of the earth is also, the consciousness of the earth is also a divine being, such as yourself, but there is a certain kind of weight, and that comes with aligning and allying with the earth because of the physical size and the ability to hold space for you and all the beings on it. So we would like you now to consider, after all that we've said, consider one reason that in recent times or in the past, preferably a recent times or current situation, in which you doubt yourself. Can you think through what the trigger may be? We would like for you to gain some insights now into the process that happens. What is it that seems to happen? And when we say seems to happen, we're actually saying, how do you interpret the thing? Because the seems to happen implies your belief filter through which you are processing or taking in the thing. I doubt myself when such and such happens. And then we'd like for you to consider what happens next. What do you do next? Maybe you get quiet. Maybe you engage in a distracting or escapist behavior. Of any kind, anything you use to not be aware of what's happening or to divert yourself. It could be anything. It could be a good book that you told somebody you're reading this classic of literature, they'd say, wow. But for you, it could be an escapist thing to take you away from the feeling that something's not right about you. So it could be food or drugs or alcohol or any media, any entertainment, it could be anything. Think about how you feel when you do the thing, that you have now diverted yourself from the tension of feeling that there might be something wrong with you or might not be something right with you. Something might be out of balance or not welcome. Maybe you don't have the right to feel what you're feeling. Maybe you don't have, maybe the perception is you don't have the right to feel that feeling in that kind of dynamic. Maybe it's about a specific person in your life. Maybe it's about a general set of people. But be aware of the trigger and be aware of what you do in response. Often, if it is an escapist thing or a diversionary tactic, it will seem unconscious, because you have a knee-jerk reaction. You have been conditioned into responding in a certain way to alleviate the tension or the pain or the sense that there's a problem, which could be lead to pain and anger, you know, hurt or frustration. And all anger is rooted in pain. So if it looks like anger, understand that pain is behind it. But for some of you, it will just be overt hurt or pain, or very obviously that way, without the added step of anger, the complication. So be aware of that trigger. Now, you already know what it is that you feel as a result of the behavior, but you perhaps haven't seen the behavior as a choice. Doing this grounding work with us, and this work on the lower chakras, is all about increasing the strength and durability of your foundation. So set if all this resonates with you, this idea of something happens that makes me doubt myself and then I have a response that I may not be aware is a choice, you know, and then, gosh, I'm in a bad position or I'm unhappy because I did the thing, but how do I not make that choice? If this resonates with you, I imagine there may be some people on the call for whom this does not fully resonate, but if it does, make the commitment to yourself now to be aware of every step of the process, every single time it happens, and to give yourself permission to explore the feeling, even if it means doing the diversionary thing further. Make the commitment to withhold judgment of yourself in this process, in the spirit of gaining more awareness of what is actually happening. Commit to withholding judgment of yourself, because this happens. So as we say to you, maybe you don't realize that this diversionary thing, this escapist thing, is a choice, and it is a choice. Don't say, oh, gosh, yeah, oh, I shouldn't have, oh, never. Don't do that, please. Please say, okay, so that's something that I do. Okay, understood. Call in the grounded realism of one of the reasons the channel chose this event. We inspired him to choose the event for this time, and in retrospect, he realized later, transiting Saturn in Scorpio is conjunct the Sun. And there is a sense of grounded realism and important to look at the truth of something, to understand it as fully as possible, and to then work without judgment, which is a healthy Saturn energy, to work without judgment to change it. And that is where this comes from. You can't really achieve anything of value in this kind of work if you're not aware of what's happening. And you can't really open up to awareness if you're judging it or you're afraid of finding out just what it is that's true about what's happening. For some people, they will choose have a diversionary habit or reaction that doesn't ever, obviously the very definition of diversionary, but doesn't ever deal with the feeling that occurs when the trigger happens that leads to self-doubt. Like if you were to consistently say to somebody, this is what I need from you to be in relationship with you, and that person said, well, I want to be in relationship with you, but I can never do that. Then, of course, you have to evaluate what's real, what's fair, what's true, And what you really need versus what you may kind of prefer, or something like this. But if you're always being told something, some categorical answer to something that makes you feel not good, you have to go through this process of evaluating what's really happening. But you can't do it if you're judging the other person, or if you're judging yourself, or if you're judging the fact that you're hurt by something. This is what we're getting at. Most people want to escape what pains them. But you can choose to be with it. You can choose conscious awareness of the feeling. That leads to the perception that you should doubt yourself. Essentially, you should vibrate as who you are. I am who I am. Again, not defensive, not tense, not sarcastic, not a question. I am who I am. The calm, simple, grounded statement. I am who I am. And if you do this enough, to the point that you believe that you have the right to be who you are, you will not doubt your thoughts and feelings. You will not doubt what you want and what you need. Another aspect from the chart of the event today. The moon in Aquarius square the sun and Saturn in Scorpio. And the moon is conjunct the asteroid Juno, which is about commitment. So moon is about need and happiness, needs and happiness. Squaring the structure and reason of Saturn and Sun, respectively. So can you have, are you willing to exist in dynamic tension of awareness of what you need and want that might not be happening? That may cause you to doubt yourself. Are you willing to be with the feeling in tension, but dynamic tension? It's dynamic if you allow it to occur and you're willing to respond. If you just feel squared, which in the channel's vocabulary, pressure, friction, criticism to change, or something like this, if you respond from that with something that leads you to doubt yourself, that leads you to not believe in who you are, that leads you to shelve or table something that matters to you, then you can't work through it. There's no dynamic tension. You're just edging away from what is tense or what pains you. You're kind of unplugging the machine, and you can't grow through that if you do. Please put your attention on these cords into the earth, breathing the energy of the earth up through your root chakra, the first chakra, and the bottoms of your feet, and letting this energy come all the way up into your field, all the way to the top of your head, to your shoulders, and down to your fingertips, filling you, and making the decision that all debris that doesn't serve you, that doesn't belong to you, that you can't use going forward, on your exhale, send it down into the earth, and do this 3 or 4 or 5 times. Now, in this next section, we're going to do energy work on your whole field together. And towards the end, we will be smoothing things over so we don't leave you in balance since we did so much work on the lower chakras. And we're going to, as we do this, so you're welcome to reassert your openness and your desire to be worked on, or to say, gosh, I'm okay for today. I'm done for today. You're welcome to do that now. And if you say no, nothing will happen. We will just not be in your space. Your free will is everything. We want to talk about the function of doubt and how it can help you going forward. Because when somebody finds that he or she doubts the self, there can come this idea about, I shouldn't do that, or gosh, that really holds me back. Just as when we talk about a relationship with fear, you can't eradicate fear, but you can act in spite of fear or anyway. Once you understand the fear, and you understand what's happening, you can make a choice regardless. And that is moving through fear. That is altering your relationship with fear. The same thing we can say of doubt. Doubt exists within you for a very important reason. We have said to you, you are a creative spark of the divine. You are here to manifest a mission. All these things we've said. And it kind of may, from one perspective, paint the picture of you are unlimited, you are unstoppable, never get grounded. You know, this kind of like everything's possible, everything. But what we really want to get at is that doubt will come up, and in fact, doubt should come up, because you should check your motivations. You should be aware of what you want and why. We talk about this in terms of checking your motivations. Why do I want this? Why do I think that about myself? And this is where we get to some discussion. For those of you familiar with the channel's work, this is about the archetype of Lucifer. And if you're not familiar with it, you can forget the idea of Satan and the devil and just kind of throw that out the window permanently. It's not about that. It's actually about doubt and self-doubt. And why do you want to do something? Do you want to do it because it is enjoyable, it is pleasurable, because it fits with who you are, because it fits with your intentions? Do you want to do it because it may be of service to others or be helpful to yourself or others in general? All kinds of different motivations might come up. Why do I want to do this? Or do I like being right? Do I like being seen? Do I want attention? Do I need to be the center of things? This is all about where your ego is aligned. So many of you will doubt yourselves because of where your ego is, where you are afraid to align your ego. So we want to teach you about this perspective of always finding out why you want what you want. So for example, we say, do you remember what you wanted as a child to do when you grew up? What is the dream? And make the commitment not to call it childish or silly, etc. Why do you want that? Chances are because it brings you joy. Chances are because it allows you to feel alive. It would open the door for a great deal of enjoyment about being alive. And one of the other things that has been conditioned into you over millennia is that you maybe shouldn't enjoy being alive too much. How many cautionary tales do you have about people who are, in the end, labeled selfish, egocentric, egotistical, that kind of thing? But in fact, in order to work with the doubt that naturally comes up in your field, in your consciousness, why do I want to do this? Or why would I do that? And if the answer is, I really like being seen to be the one who's doing it, or I like being right, or something like this, then maybe you don't want to feed that. And you have the choice. This is the big key here. You have the choice on whether to do that or not. Instead of being afraid that you might be selfish or egotistical, make the decision case by case, item by item, motivation by motivation, about where your energies will go. And this is a wonderful way that you can institute, you can trigger, or kickstart is the image, self-interested action, so that life is not making decisions on your behalf because you have been vacillating or feeling kind of wishy-washy or non-committal. Things will get chosen for you. Situation A comes along, presents an opportunity. Do you take it? Do you not take it? You can actually miss the deadline because you're hemming and hawing. So the decision is made for you, this kind of thing. You have the choice on which parts of you to feed and develop. So we want you to be egocentric, but to align ego with your center, with your spirit and your heart. So we want you to be egocentric. You are a portion of divine consciousness manifesting on this plane, in this dimension, in this body, to do something which will teach Goddess and God and all that is about what it means to be here. What a mission! Please take a moment and be amazed at what the fact that you are here. That's your mission? That is pretty incredible, you should be saying. To teach Goddess and God what it means to live here. You are a portion of divinity teaching divine consciousness about what it means to be here. So please have an ego. Please feed your sense of individuality. Please invest in your unique voice. And please choose to be aligned with what you know is wonderful and good. A number of situations that arise about self-doubt can include this conversation of, well, what would other people think? Or what would it look like if I were to do this? So your job is, again, we look back at the first chakra, community, culture, clan, family, heritage, society, nation. And then we look at the second chakra, how others treat me, or what others have told me I am, and what imprinting, what beliefs about who you are become with that. So again, draw a line in the sand and make this third chakra, solar plexus, investment. Make a commitment to invest in yourself through this self-interested action, self-interested choices, knowing who you are because of where you came from, root or first chakra. Knowing what others have reflected to you, but being willing and committed to reading between the lines. And then being in this third chakra in a healthy way that says, I'm willing to invest in myself because I have a gift to give, because I am the divine. And sometimes your head may want to run away with you. You know, your ego may want to go a little crazy, and you may, you know, get a little, you know, out of balance that way. So you bring yourself back. You don't stop acting. You don't hold yourself back. You don't box yourself and shame this divine spark within you because you are afraid of being seen as selfish. Please invest in yourself. That's the only way you can bring a gift. And by the way, Lucifer means bringer of light. This whole archetype is about bringing light, which is a service. But one must invest in one's own egocentric self in order to do it. Ideally, during this explanation, this conversation, you have been triggered in an uncomfortable way by how many times we have used the word ego or compound words containing it. Egocentric, ego, whatever. Ideally, you're challenged at this point. This is good. We want you to be uncomfortable with how you've been conditioned to deny a strong ego. Is self-doubt about being aligned with spirit, about meditation, about spiritual development, about raising consciousness? Yes, but you cannot do that without a grounded, healthy sense of who you are, which is ego. A sense of your mission, a sense of your desires, a sense of your passions. This is ego. You didn't come here as a divine being having this unique experience to get lost in a crowd of people afraid of their egos. This is part of the evolutionary process, and this is a great deal. There's something important here to say, we should say, about the Piscean Age conditioning you've received for approximately the last 2,000 years. You are edging into the Aquarius Age, the Aquarian Age. And this is about being willing to be an individual. It's about creating community for the right reasons. It's about unplugging from existing dynamics that don't work and then finding the ones that suit you and creating community in a new way. It's about investing in your individual genius. The Piscean Age ethos is to get lost in a crowd. And you have been taught that ego, by the crowd, you have been taught that ego is bad because these Judeo-Christian deities need your support to keep their churches going and their synagogues going. They can't do it without you shelving your self-trust. And this is where we come to complete this call. This next portion will be about trust. Trust can also be said to be faith. Did you come here as a divine being to doubt that you're a divine being? Or did you come here as a divine being to figure out how to have faith in what this means and what it implies? The concept of what divine is, the definition, will vary This is why we endeavor through all these works that we offer you, these events and all the channeled writings that channeled has brought through. We endeavor to give you an updated definition that supports your shifting into Aquarian Age mindsets, out of following the herd in a disempowered way that makes you a little more bland so you can fit in, and seeking to inspire you and to trigger the part of you that says, wait a minute, I came here for a reason. Wait a minute, there's nothing wrong with me. You may not be in this place today, but make the commitment to yourself, if you're not there today, to figure out how to get there, to trust that you came here for a reason. Two-sided reason. One is, to learn about choices and the results of choices. And the other is a particular set of desires and passions that you have as a unique individual. You came here for a reason. You are here for a reason. Whatever it is in your life that causes you to doubt that you should be here, whether it's how others treat you, whether it's how welcome you feel in your culture or your community, how other people receive you, how supported you have thus far decided you are by life, you are goddess in God. Do you really think that you're not supported? So we're asking you to invest in yourself and adapt to this vision of who you are. You are not this person who was born in this town with these parents, with this religion, who went to that school or didn't. You are not the parents of these children or these animals. You are not the person who has this health problem or this challenge or this limitation. You are not the person who doesn't get a response. You are not the person who feels alone. You are not the person who can't get a minute to yourself. You are none of these things. These are vehicles for your personality to learn, your conscious personality to learn about what it means to be a human and make choices and deal with the consequences. You are a divine being learning what it means to make choices. This is who you are. Will you have faith in that? Will you adapt your view of who you are to this bigger picture perspective that enables you to become empowered in your life? Or will you continue to choose to see circumstance as defining who you are? Circumstance in your life simply reflects what you're vibrating as a divine command, what we mentioned early in our conversation today. You are vibrating, I need to learn about certain life themes. Well, then they come to you. And then you make up reasons why they came to you that tend to be disempowering. Oh, I must have deserved something unfun at that time. I must have deserved something painful. Or, gosh, I made a choice, so therefore I brought pain to myself. Look at every single choice as an expression of your divine will. Go to the place of choosing from the stance of investing in yourself as a divine being, making a choice that suits you best in that moment. This is how you transform self-doubt. Understanding all the reasons why you may doubt yourself, and then rewriting why those things are in your life. And you certainly have the option to continue allowing those circumstances to keep you in a state of self-doubt. It is our intention with this work today that we have provided you alternate perspectives that will help you think through some of the things that you're not thinking through thus far, or to feel into some of the things that you have been afraid to feel into, or not sure that you have support to go into some difficult feeling and pain and not react with a diversionary or destructive results or reaction. You can choose to continue keeping yourself small because you are not sure if you have a purpose or your conscious mind, your linear logical mind is not sure if you have a purpose or if it's important. And we're telling you it is, but a major part of your journey as a human is to make the decision that it is important. What you want, who you need, what you are, who you need, what you need, what you bring, what you seek, all of these things are important. So please put your attention once again to these cords into the earth. And being very clear that all energies that do not belong to you, all bits of energy and emotion and intellectual perspectives that may have shaken loose during this time, together, all bits of every energy and emotion and idea that doesn't serve you and doesn't fit with what you are feeling now as your commitment to moving forward. All those things go down into the earth and decide to be free of them. Decide you don't need them to tell you who you are and to shape your future going forward. Send them down into the earth. Now we're going to smooth over in your field. All those of you who have asked us to come in and root through your filing system, your karmic filing system and your energy emotional system. Just kind of make sure we don't leave anything out of place and smoothing everything over and just kind of plucking some little things that might still be there that need to go, that might have missed. Because some things are actually very comfortable being in you. And sometimes having a little help to pluck out little bits at the end is good. Now take a moment and keep your eyes closed. But very gently, move your neck just a little bit, your head on your neck, from side to side. Just introduce a little motion that's very gentle and very calm. Nothing jarring, and keep your eyes closed. And then move in your seat just a little bit. Oh, an inch to the left and gently back to the right. Maybe your back, maybe lean back a little and then come back to normal. Just a little bit of motion to come back into your body. As we are close to exiting your field and wrapping things up, we will say that for the next bit of time, you may feel a little activated in certain ways. You may feel different areas of your body cold or warm or feeling pain. You may feel very, very thirsty. You may feel very, very tired. You may be very hungry suddenly when you're done with this. Listen to your body, please, and be aware of what's happening. But be gentle and stay grounded. I would suggest that for the rest of the day, even if you are off to do something else in the future or soon, keep cords into the earth and keep aware of what it feels like to be in your body and make that decision to be aware. Now we're going to step out of your field very consciously. And so anything we may have loaned to you while we did this work for you, we call back. And anything we might have borrowed from you in order to be of service in this way as we got into your fields, we call back. This is a good thing to do for any time energy work is done or intense psychological or emotional counseling is done too, to separate the energy fields. And so have the conscious intention to separate your fields from ours, and we will do the same. And you may feel like sitting here with your eyes closed for a while. You may want to go to sleep. Please honor that if that is true. And again, if you're hungry, eat. If you're thirsty, drink. Don't do anything terribly stressful or strenuous if you can at all avoid it. Thank you for your time and energy. We appreciate the opportunity to come through, and the channel appreciates your support of his work in doing this work and progressing along these paths together. So take care and be well, and until the next time.